Hello, mech fans around the world, and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where your two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris, watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 30, and we'll be talking about episode 30 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, A Wish for War Orphans, in which three children win the space civil war. Moe agare, and take it away.
Like, given at any given day, I'm somewhere between 50 and 75% garbage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where these two garbage idiots cover Gundam. What?
You fucking slow played the hell out of me that time.
Yeah, honestly, I was just trying to find a good part, and I was just like, man, I just have actual thoughts on tofu. Like, I mean, it's an area of expertise I have, so I kind of just started rolling with it, and I'm like, I gotta stop, we're 5 minutes into this recording.
I'm your co-host, Christopher.
Yeah, and I'm Fuzzy, I don't know if I mentioned that.
I'm not sure, it's real weird today.
Yeah, weird energy already, weird episode two, actually.
Dude, okay, the animation of this episode is so different than in every other episode.
It's all over the place!
It's such a fucking... this is a cartoon-ass cartoon. Like, it's like, okay, this one has the kids in it, so let's make it a kids cartoon.
Like, it's not just that this one has a bunch of wildly, like... It's very cartoony, you're right. It's got a lot of that fucking Astro Boy-ass influence right now.
Yeah.
In this episode in particular, especially in literally, like, the second thing to fucking happen in this episode. I'll get to it in a second. But it's also, like, half of it's really cartoony, the other half is just really well animated. Like... I don't know if you notice this, but, like, during the entire car sequence, the kids and the boys were animated really fucking well. And, like, their hair was flowing, and it wasn't just, like, a repeating pattern. They were really energetic. The animation was really fluid.
Yeah.
It was, it's really good, but also, what the fuck? Who was, wait, hold on, we can find this out easily. It's a cool fucking
Yeah, we know the thing. Just to vamp, everybody, in case you didn't watch along, we get to meet a new baby boy today, and it's a good one.
Yes.
Can't wait for the rest of you to meet this new good baby boy.
Yes, our new friend, our new sweet friend, who we finally know how to pronounce his name.
Because
boy, did we not.
Oh, were we not saying the right thing? I guess that's based on hearing what they called it.
They do actually call it the Ack guy, not the AC guy. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you've said Ack guy before.
I might have, but I myself was not sure about that the entire
time. Okay, so you're probably doing it. You were doing it as a joke.
Yeah. Oh my god! I figured out why this episode's good.
Is it made by the same people who did the? Yep. I can't remember, but the little kid.
It's done by Yoshikazu Yasuhiko, the guy who did Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin, the manga.
Ah!
He's the animation director on this episode.
Ah.
Which also explains why this arc in the manga was really good.
I remember this one.
Yeah, because, like, this episode in particular, or this part of the manga, that all of the stuff that this episode has happen in it, was also really well done in the mango. Like, really well done. And, yeah, I'm hype as shit, actually. Oh, shit, he was actually the animation director on the last episode and the next episode, too.
Nice.
Those are all the ones he did. Actually, okay, nice. Yeah, he did 1 through 3, 6 through 7, 9 and 10, 13, 17, 22, 24, 26, and then 29 through 31. And that
was... Okay, well, at least it wasn't Cooker is Doan's Island, because Jesus was that hot garbage. That was like 15,
I think. Yeah, that was 15. I always get confused. Episode 13. Yeah, 13 is Coming Home. 15 is Cuckoo's Doan's Island.
15 is the bane of our existence.
15 is literally the bane of my existence. I'm very curious if every show has one of these, because like I said, I never saw Zeta, so I don't know if there's just like a super throwaway episode of Zeta or Double Zeta.
It's a filler.
I'd just be really amused how many of these might exist, because, well, that's, you say filler, and that's one of the interesting things about this, right?
Yeah.
This is an original video animation. This never had this didn't have a manga first, it had a manga second, right?
Right.
So, filler is typically something you see in anime based on manga, because the anime caught up, right?
I guess it was just that bad, huh?
It was just that bad, yeah. Tomino is literally on record as being regretful that he did that fucking episode. yet, that said, it did put an idea into everyone's head, and the one thing I will give Cuckoo's Doan's Island is due to the focus of the episode, it does make you consider mobile suits are shaped like humans, they can act like them sometimes, too, in terms of body mechanics, if you're a smart pilot.
Martial arts is what you're talking about. Yes,
Gundam martial, yes, Gundam mobile suit martial arts, yes. I didn't want to say the words, but yeah.
Mobile suits martial arts is
a good fucking idea, and they made literally an entire show about it, and it's sick as fuck! I don't know how they fucked it up so hard the first time. They shit the bed, Chris. They shit it they really did.
And then, luckily they've washed the stink of war off of them by not translating.
They did.
Anyways, this episode's much better than that episode. Uh-huh. And we are literally, like, equidistant away from it now than we were from the beginning, because that was episode 15,
yeah,
and this is episode 30.
Yeah.
We're in the home stretch, motherfuckers! We got 18 more episodes.
We do have 18 more episodes.
Which is, what, 6 months?
Yep. Theoretically.
So, Jesus. Next year...
Fear.
Next year, we are in Zeta mode.
God. Man, I'm gonna have... Should we make a new logo? I don't know. I made that one in fucking paint.net. I don't know. Anyway. That's something to think about later.
Let's do that off the air.
Yeah, let's do that off the air. Now, let's spend 30 minutes debating that instead. Oh, wait, we have an episode to cover, like literally every other fucking episode. Hey, quick reminder. Last time, Char attacked and got his shit kicked in. That's it. That's pretty much all that happened. Did you glean something more from the previously on?
No, You know what? From the previously on, you're correct. But I feel like they left out a very important part of it. Like, we've now wiped out another couple.
You thought that was important? Well,
I personally did. Oh yeah,
That wasn't important. That was just a kick in the dick for you particularly, Chris.
Well, we...
Chris.
We all know this is actually just the story of Amuro and Char's fight fest.
Yeah, this is just the story of Amuro and Char's fight fest. Does it evolve into a fuck fest? We'll see. It doesn't.
No.
Though, man, they probably just should have.
I don't think Char would lower himself to Amuro's level.
Char just opened up a real good joke there that I am actively restraining myself from.
Is it a spoiler joke?
No, it's based entirely around the concept of Amuro and Char fucking. That's it. That's literally the whole thing.
Okay.
Point being, yeah, fucking, you're not entirely wrong, honestly, in that Gundam is... You see, Gundam is really a story about Amuro and Char. Unironically. So, it's kind of funny that we say this now when it's like all the way here in just episode 30, whereas there's like 180 more of these out there to cover this fucking arc of existence.
Yeah. It's also strange because, like, I like Char for the reasons everybody likes. Well, not everybody, but the reason I would like Char, which is that he's stupid and he, like, he's just too much. He's just too much is what he is. He is
that bitch, TM.
And, yeah, and I like that about him. I think that's fun. But Amuro and Char's weird rivalry is by far the least interesting part of this to me.
I mean, I'll admit, it's a plot line I liked a lot when I was younger, and I remember liking a lot. It's a very just old school plot line, right? It's just direct antagonism. Hero and villain. Yeah, it's that good shit. Now, that said, I think we'll find that they... Now it's very pretty black and white. As we keep getting deeper into just this season, I'll be honest, Char... I think especially in the next, like, arc or two? Oh, man, he gets some fucking character development, I tell you what.
Oh, shit, son.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to that character development by not interrupting you anymore.
Weird.
I don't know if I can do it, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Especially because we literally have something to go on a tangent about within the first 30 fucking seconds of this show. So after the title card, we cut to just the sky getting filled with artillery. There's gauze and dops flying around, and then the little fucking bumblebee-ass things that the Fetties use get launched. It's a whole thing, right?
Yeah.
We cut to two Fetty dudes in a remote outpost tower just idly bitching about having to be in a remote outpost tower until they get fucking ganked by
they get act guide
our new friend makes an appearance.
The thing is, like, I would probably be like pretty whatever on act guide because he's very similar to the Gok-Zok situation. Except that I know what the act guide eventually leads to, and I'm so fucking excited.
Bear guy.
Oh, bear guy's the best.
Man, fucking, I own the bear guy one model. If I remember correctly, they actually made bear guy two before they made bear guy one. So,
like,
the much cuter bear guy is the one most people know, the one with the, like, small eyes, and it's got the little petite guys where they hold hands and go on friendship walks and all this shit. Bear Guy 1 looks like an Ack guy with a different head and a cute little backpack, and it's kind of objectively terrifying to stare at. Like, we will talk about him when we get to, Build Fighters, the original Build Fighters, I think. Oh, man, he is... I'm not saying it's a face only a mother can love, but...
I think I like Bear Guy 1 more than Bear Guy 2.
Really? Alright.
Yeah.
that's a fair take, honestly. He does have his own charms.
It's just that he still looks like a fucking mech.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kinda.
Bear Guy 2 does look very... It looks like they took Bear Guy 1 and dunked him in the Haro filter a few times.
Yeah.
And then produced that, which, speaking of, I shit you not, they started making model kits for Haro now. I just saw them in a hobby town, like, a couple of days ago. Good shit. They look like pretty cute little... Like, they have little arms, too. So you can have your little Amuro with... I mean, not Amuro. Haro with arms making weird little poses. And he comes in all the colors, too, because fuck yeah.
Eventually there's a billion Haros.
There is eventually a billion, including a Nega Haro later.
Oh my god, I can't wait for Nega Haro!
It's a fucking 00, and he is... Oh. It's so good. It's bad, but it's good.
Alright, we've gotta get through this so we can get to 00.
Yeah, so the act guy fucking mercs these dudes, right? And then turns around, and we get the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen. As a snake was watching this. And the at guy yep. turns around and clearly looks past the snake towards the camera. And the yep. snake turns around and faces the camera. And uh-huh. then freaks out and is like, oh! And like literally the top of the head and the bottom jaw separate in like a fucking South Park Canadian kind of vibe.
Yep.
Before closing again. And literally the snake books it so fast that it was like a ringed python. The rings are left behind. Yeah,
yes!
He literally ollies out so fast he leaves the detail of his skin behind. Yeah.
And I feel like that was the animator being like, okay, we need to warn them early. This is going to be fucking weird.
Yeah.
Because I saw that and I was like, that's so not the tone of this fucking show.
Yeah. It's a really weird tonal break in the first 45 fucking seconds of the show. Who did this? Why?
I wonder why that decision was made. Is it just because, like, oh, this is the episode centering around the kids, so let's make it more kiddie? Or was he just like, make the snake do some cool shit. Y'all shut up.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with this. Like, I don't... I'd be fascinated to ask the animation director, who's the second half of his last name, I keep fucking forgetting. Both him and Tomino, like, what was up with this episode? Why is this episode so cartoonish in comparison? Like, and it's not in a bad way, even, it's just noticeable.
You know, it's still animated very well. Actually, it's animated better than a lot of the other episodes.
Yeah, but there's also very little reused animation the whole episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Yasuhiko-san, if you're out there, if Tomino handed you this podcast and told you to listen, hi, big fan, Nani the fuck, my guy. What went down here? I'm really curious. It's yeah. 5 p.m.
We're not upset with you.
We're just confused.
Wondering. We just want to know.
We just want to know.
If any Tomino's out there, please, no. If any Tomino's out there know about what the fuck happened here, just tell us.
Yeah.
Or go find this guy and force him to explain it on tape and then send us that tape.
Yes. Don't kidnap any members of the Gundam staff.
No, do not. They've been through enough.
Yeah, they fucking have. God, yeah, they have. Look at us, just as an example. Anyway.
So buckle up, everybody. This is a strange-ass episode.
Yeah, it's kind of a fucking strange episode. Big time. Anyway, so...
You think they did drugs?
I don't know.
You think they're just... Maybe they're just fucking on acid. Or cocaine. It's the late 70s, right? No, early 70s.
No, mushrooms. Late 70s.
No, it was late 70s, 70s, yeah. Cocaine.
It was the start of cocaine. I don't know if cocaine ever got that big in Japan.
Well, look, they had to animate this shit by hand. They were doing a lot of cocaine.
Oh, that's Yasuhiko-san's big secret. So much speed.
He's just fucking taking speedballs.
Yeah, he gets a chapter of beautiful fucking watercolored art out at every week. Speedballs. Artists, we appreciate what you do. The speedballs. We appreciate you doing all these. Definitely not all the work and effort you put into your art. It's the speedballs that do it.
Definitely the speedballs.
Definitely the speedballs. So that we're happens. Guys. Yeah, we then turn around the camera around and see a bunch of shadowy figures, which turn out to be At Guys and Chars Zagok, because no one else drives fucking bright red mechs.
I also like that he's like. They're like, okay, well, we've actually got two newer models after yours. Would you like one of those instead? You are the commanding officer. You should have the most advanced... do they have it in red? Oh, no, then they don't have it in red. No, fuck it.
Then fuck that. Get that wait. Shit the fuck out of my face, you coward.
But it's so much...
You fool. Okay. You ingrate. All right,
I'm sorry. Please don't hurt me again.
So after Char beats the shit out of his mechanic, apparently.
I just want to know why don't, like, if you, when, I just imagine, like, you're a person in the maintenance department, and you hear, like, oh, the new commanding officer is this guy named Char Asneppel. And you're like, motherfucker, can we requisition red paint? I need it now.
I have heard. Guys, I need bigger engines. I just need bigger engines and I need and red paint. Yesterday. Now, stop. Everything we're doing. We need red paint and bigger engines. Right now.
Anyways, so he's got, because the Zoc is after the Zagok, right?
Yeah, he
is now two models behind.
No, the Zoc is after the Zagok, you're right. Excuse me. And then the Ack guy is even further past the Zagok, so we don't really know why the Zagok is coming along. I'm guessing it's because they painted all the Ack guys red and ran out of the paint.
Yeah.
So, for some reason, they all jump into a ravine. And we cut away immediately.
Yeah,
the alarms.
I want to.
Yeah,
ooh, when we get there, I'm gonna be upset in a minute. All right, let's go.
The alarms of Jaburo start going off, and we get into a room of a couple of commanding officers are briefing White Base's crew, and seem like, oh, they're just bombing again. It's whatever. No one worry about it. The crew of White Base is informed they'll be joining the Tiemann fleet autonomously,
which I mistakenly said the Tiananmen fleet last time.
Yeah,
and
it's very close.
I'm super embarrassed, and I've been thinking about it ever since I watched this episode. I'm just like,
you weren't.
Like, I get that I am the dumb host, and you're the smart. You're like the Gundam host, the smart Gundam host, and I'm the idiot Gundam host. But that mistake has really gotten under my skin. Like, oh no, they're gonna know I'm the dumb host.
I mean, I also mispronounced it all last episode. Like,
okay, good.
It's fine. I think you said Tiananmen, and then I started saying Tiananmen. And honestly, yeah, it's hard not to say Tiananmen. Like, it's real.
Yeah, because Tiananmen is it's got a weird stop in it.
I'm not even sure if that was accurate, honestly. I just kind of.
That's how they said it in English.
Okay, cool. So yeah, everyone now gets a promotion. Bright gets bumped from ensign to lieutenant junior grade, which is one upgrade. Mirai is now an ensign, which was Bright's old position. Sayla is petty officer first class. Amuro is chief petty officer. Kai and Hyo.
Yeah, I didn't think that was awesome.
Well,
how about they're the same rank, you fucks?
Well, hold on. So Kai and Hayato get petty officer second class, Frabo gets seaman, like, it's the second highest, it's the second lowest rank, excuse me.
They said private first class for Frabo in English.
Interesting.
So, real quick. Fucking Kai and Hayato have been pilots for way longer than Sayla.
Yeah. Sayla's been a communications officer. Why did she got bumped to pilot and is still relatively inexperienced.
I think Amuro, Sayla, Kai, and Hayato should all be the same fucking rank.
Well,
like, you might give Amuro chief petty officer because he does a lot of the tactics and stuff between missions.
That was going to be my big argument. Amuro puts a lot of work into battlefield tactics and how to best use these, because they have five total pieces of armor. White Base.
Yeah.
They have White Base itself, the G unit, and then the three guns, the cannon, tank, and dumb.
So, I guess I'm not that upset about Amuro being chief petty officer, but I think it is weird that Sayla got rocketed past Kai and Hayato.
I think it has something to do with two things. One is something we're hinted at more in this episode, but you don't actually get an explicit confirmation till way later. And that's something to do with Sayla herself, and what is going on with her. But also, Sayla, in being a comms officer for a while there,
yeah, and I guess, being like, the fighter pilot, serving on the, yeah, serving on the bridge was probably something.
I think it's also just the fact
maybe
that
I'm just a grumpy guess.
I think it's also the fact that Kai and Hayato deadass don't participate in tactics meetings.
Also, Kai did fucking abandon.
Kai
ship.
Also went AWOL for.
So I guess we're three I guess days. We should be like, he doesn't get court-martialed.
Yeah.
All right, I take it all back. They're doing fine.
Mm-hmm. I would like to note that all of these are good ranks.
They're all commissioned officer ranks too.
No, they're not. Petty officer is non-commissioned.
So guess who doesn't know anything about the military, y'all?
It's fine. I literally found all this out because I paused the episode and was like, "What do all these mean in the Navy?"
In the Navy.
You can sail the seven seas in the Navy. I love that song. I shit you not. I just unironically love that song. First encountered it on a DDR game I had on PS2. Played the fuck out of that song. It was either, for some reason, I was usually playing In the Navy or that one really fast Tycho song. You fucking know the one if you've played DDR.
I have not played DDR.
If you've played one of the earlier or one of the 2000s era DDR games, pretty much all of them had this one fucking song. First of all, it was like the second highest BPM song in the whole damn thing. And it was like mostly Tycho drums just fucking going ham. Like the closest that you remember the fight song in Naruto?
No, I didn't watch Naruto.
Not even like enough memeing to get the fight song out of it.
Damn. I don't know memes. I'm bad at memes. Remember, you have to explain memes to me. I'm old. Fuzzy.
I'm sorry. Fucking yeah, you're old. Sorry, that was the moment. It broke for me. The illusion is gone. You're an old man. Jesus. You're 90.
I'm ancient.
Yeah, you're turning to dust as we speak now. You're Dorian Gray who looked at your painting.
Oh god, I knew it was a mistake to look at that fucking thing.
Anyway, I do want to make it clear, though, that, like, Bright gets kind of the shortest end of the stick here in that he only gets promoted once. Meanwhile, from my understanding of how the military works, I have not been in the military. I've had family who have, though, and I've kept up with it, I guess. I kept up with it, kind of like how my friend keeps up with the Seahawks. From my understanding, like, Amuro especially here basically got bumped up to one of the highest they could comfortably give someone who should still be a pilot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, someone who didn't go to officer's candidate school or something.
I mean, literally, like, I'm not kidding when I say this, there are three more ranks above him that keep him in the E category. As far as the American military is concerned, which is the non-commission, one of the highest non-commissioned category, really. And it's like, literally, he would be Master Chief if he went any higher. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
The other three in his category are Master Chief. So, also, keep in mind, for you Halo kids out there, Master Chief, non-commissioned officer.
Yeah, I just realized he's a grunt.
Yeah. Which is very much on purpose, but that's for a different podcast.
Yeah. Welcome to Mobile Halo Business. Wait.
that's not a podcast either of us are on. Neither of us are on Sailor Business. Anyway, so...
So here's my problem. Here's my biggest problem with Lieutenant Junior Grade.
Right.
They don't install... a commander above him, or a captain. I don't think they would give command of a vessel to a lieutenant junior grade, right?
I figure the logic is twofold here. One,
okay.
These are still 16-year-olds who have just drafted themselves into the military.
Well, he's 20.
He's 20. They aren't.
But he's the one in command of White Base.
My bad. repeat what you said.
Fight me IRL.
Yeah, right? What did you just say? Sorry.
I said, this is Bright we're talking about. Like, I can't imagine. They should have, like, fucking skyrocketed him up to a rank that should be in command of a vessel like this. Or install a commander.
I have an answer for the second part.
Okay.
I don't see any of the White Base crew trusting a newcomer. Because...
they're all military. Who gives a fuck? Just listen.
That may be true. These are still 16-year-olds with the most advanced military technology available to the Federation at the time.
You know what? I'm getting too hung up on dumb shit. It doesn't matter. They all get promoted.
Yes, they all get promoted. That's my big one, is just that part of, these are kids with a lot of power who have proven themselves, but they're still kids. And if they don't take that into relatively careful consideration, it could blow up in their face in a very real way. I also think the fact that it's pretty clear the Feddies are aware of the new types on White Base now. At the very least, they're aware of Amuro.
Yeah.
And I think by... what happens next, which I'll explain now, should have gotten him, like, court-martialed, honestly. Within the Japanese military landscape, especially from my understanding of it. So, the COs proceed to explain that all the people who died... Well, first, Fra comes in, chasing the kids, learns she's been made a seaman, and the kids are like, we want to leave White Base, fuck you, and leave.
Motherfucker!
One of the two COs turns out to be the child care officer, and is like, let me help!
Yeah.
And Fra's like, I actually have some experience
with children. Yeah, Fra's like, fucking...
I'm begging you. This is an important plot thread for the rest of the episode, and I'm not kidding. Ryu is posthumously promoted 2 ranks to Lieutenant Junior Grade, as are all the other casualties.
Well, they're all increased by 2 ranks.
They're all promoted by 2 ranks. Which, for those of you who don't know, because I didn't realize this until I thought about it and did some Googling, if their families wanted to, like, claim a military pension, they could now.
Yeah.
That's what's important about this. And so, like, any family they did have now has a family member with a significantly higher office space and also a pension.
I'm thinking Amuro didn't understand this. Because that is something. That's not nothing. Like, Amuro... Okay, so Amuro loses his fucking shit.
Yes.
And is like, what? That's it? That's all you're gonna do to pay respect to the dead guys?
He was a little calmer in the Japanese, but yes.
You fucks.
Yeah.
No, he does kind of like get in the guy's face and tell him it's stupid. We're out there fighting and dying, and this is all you can do for us when we die. You pretend to care about us when we're alive, and then we die, you throw us away, or whatever. Like, what the fuck? They don't have a goddamn Lazarus machine, motherfucker.
Right.
Like, they can't bring Ray, bring fucking, you can't bring him back to life.
Yeah.
Alright? Like, they are, like, giving him the honors they can.
Yep.
Which is a posthumous rank.
Yep.
And that's helping his family.
Which, for the record, the pay raise, like, in terms of when you're collecting pay, is about $20,000 between those 2 ranks. So,
yeah.
I don't know what that will equate to. I don't know what that equated to in 1979 money, nor do I know what that would have equated to and what those families can claim afterwards, but, like, it's nothing to shake a stick at.
Yeah, it's, and also, like, again...
Like, a war, like, that's what we do in real life, is, like, they might not even fucking promote you, they might just give you a posthumous medal.
Yeah.
Which doesn't count for shit, except your family gets a medal.
Mm-hmm.
as long as as well as a flag. Look, war sucks.
Yes, Amuro. War sucks big. I do see where Amuro is coming from. In that, like, at dying is worth two ranks to you, right? And of course, this is Amuro not understanding it, but at the same time, it does a decent job of examining that war is hell, because that is
what also Amuro's a teenager.
Also, Amuro is a teenager, and this show is written aimed loosely at teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking war is hell. Don't.
War is hell.
Stop that. So.
Don't do war.
I was about to get really in depth as to all the shit he said in my summary when I realized I didn't need to. Amuro is a dense bitch for a second and speaks out of turn, which gets him smacked by.
Well,
first, he's about to
get... We get some new type nonsense.
It is absolutely new type nonsense, and especially in the manga, they make it clearer that this is new type nonsense, because this really cartoonish commanding officer tries to slap Amuro, and Amuro just fucking does a back weave, and fucking the guy swings and spins like thrice before going, how the fuck dare you dodge me? Who gave you permission?
In the thing, he says, "I'm trying to discipline you."
Yeah.
Does he say
the line about who gave you permission to dodge?
I don't remember
because honestly,
that is a good line.
It's in the manga too, and it's like one of the most Japanese things I've heard. Of like, how fucking, who gave you permission to dodge?
I don't know if it was animated like this, but I, for some reason in my memory, am remembering him starting to move before the guy slapped him, which is why I was instantly like, oh, that's not his reflexes, that's some new type bullshit.
I wasn't paying that much attention, I'll admit.
Yeah, but I 100% think that was
new type
bullshit. And you confirmed it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's definitely them starting to play harder into Amuro being really good at what he does. And we get deeper into that later in this episode, because holy shit, Amuro. This episode ends on a body count that I compare to the time Amuro just murked a base. We'll get to that in a hot sec. So... we cut to Fraw, like, making up a little ice cloth to give to Amuro and being like, you stupid idiot. Why would you yell at a commanding officer? Yeah, like, why? And he's like, yeah, kind of right, fair.
Which is the opposite of how I would have reacted. Like, no, let me go back and hit him! Fuck that guy!
Yeah, I'm stealing the Gundam and kicking his ass. I'm kicking his whole lineage's ass.
Bright, teach me how to slap.
Bright, teach me how to slap and Dougie. So, remember that meme? So we cut back to Char and the Ack guys. Char gets out of his mech, and I have questions. One, why is everyone else two to an Ack guy, and he's the only one in his mobile suit?
Well, he's not fucking sharing. He's not sharing his personal space. Fuck that.
Two, why is Char not in a stealth suit and is instead in his normal, I would say dress uniform, but apparently he just wears that constantly, except if he's in space.
So, I've got an additional wrinkle to this. Why are they on a fucking stealth mission in mobile suits? Why don't they take fucking hover? We know they have hover bikes. They're much smaller, quieter.
There don't is this
clang around.
And
also, fucking, he's bright red.
He's bright fucking red. Where? What?
And so is his Gundam.
I don't understand.
Char's like, they're like, hey, this is a sneaking mission. Don't you think we should, you know, we've got all these Ack guys over here that are already painted like, whatever. And he's
meanwhile, fucking Char is kicking down the door while fucking his entire fashion squad is screaming "Yas Queen" as he struts a fucking mecha out. God, I just remembered that in a later series we do get a mecha with high heels, huh?
Dope.
And it's a good looking one too. It's actually, now that I think about it, loosely based on the Ak guy design. Like, it's in the lineage.
Yeah.
Huh.
Fuck
like,
yeah.
Like, it adopts
is.
An element. Anyway. If you can guess which mecha from Unicorn I'm thinking of, fucking tweet at me, I don't know. So, everyone disembarks, and we see them all getting out of their mechs, except Char, who's one at a time, everyone else is two to a mech.
Yeah.
They all grab a bunch of things and set off. We cut to the children having fun in daycare, and the weirdest lost planet-looking motherfucker I've ever seen comes in from stage left? This bright orange robot is like, juice,
oh my God, this
delicious
thing.
Juice, drink your delicious juice.
Here's the thing, we haven't seen this, really, like, Haru's the only helper bot we've seen so far, right?
Yeah, so I'm wondering where this lost in space motherfucker came from.
It's also terrifying, they didn't do anything to make it friendly, like, kid-friendly.
No.
But it, except that it can apparently dispense both orange juice and ice cream from its guts.
Though we never see the kids pay off the ice cream. Though, like, the kids get the juice, and then Kika's like, I want ice cream! And the robot clearly 3D prints them soft serve ice cream, but they never pick it up. So I'm just wondering if that robot kept standing there, like, ice cream dispensed. Ice cream, please. Please take it from me.
No
please. So that robot living in its own personal hell aside, another kid who's apparently been locked up in the joint longer, calls out our three sweet orphans as being naive shits. And
yeah, in English, he says something like, acting like you're having fun just makes them happy. Don't you know that?
Yeah, he says that in the Japanese too, to which tall green shirt kid is like, man, you're a cynical child. You are a cynical child. And I'm just like, when did John Mulaney possess tall green kid? Jesus. They taunt each other for a hot minute and it ends up in Kika crying. And then
because he mentions parents.
Yeah.
And obviously hers are fucking dead.
Hers got super murked, yeah. Which leads Kika to go, I want my mom, or I want... She says sister, but she means Fraw. She's... The kid's pretty consistently been referring to Fraw Bo as Onei-chan, which means my sister.
Oh, okay.
In
the English dub, I think they say Fraw.
Yeah. They do that a lot in between the shows. Japanese has, linguistically, a lot more dependence on context clues, and they're much freer with how they use non-personal nouns. So, like, any older woman can be grandma, any woman older than your parents is... you can refer to as grandma, for example, and any older woman you, like, have a connection with, you can call older sister. It's that kind of thing. These aren't universally true, and I'm way oversimplifying an entire language, but that's, like, the loose sense, which is just something interesting. And I'll also admit, fucking English, like, I don't know, I've never been good at just calling a dude bro, yet, like, apparently in Japanese, that's real effortless, right? Or someone sis? In Japanese, that's real fucking easy, apparently, and it rolls off the tongue easily. So I'm wondering, like, is Japan jock culture?
Ooh. Ooh. I am so sorry to all the Tominos out there that had to hear that just now.
Well, I have no rest of this TED Talk. I just arrived at this. I arrived at the thesis live. I just remember seeing a lot of, like, stories where the ghost of Chad possesses people, and it's like, I can call someone bro now for this conversation, and it's effortless, and then afterwards not knowing what happened, because they've never done that before. So this has been on my mind.
Not to risk another tangent, I have no idea what the fuck you just said.
It'll take like 15 ghost minutes to explain. So yeah, no, I'm just okay, let's keep going. Keep going. Move on then. So the kids, at Kika's mention of "I want my mom," the other kid who was bullying them was like, "Shit, I want my parents," and starts crying too. Yeah. Fuck, what are the two kids called? Hold on, I'm just gonna scroll up real quick and find that. Let's and Cats. Which one's which? Cats is the green one? Green one, yes. Let's proceeds to go, let's fucking kick it, and grab...
kick it!
Cats and let's grab Kika and fucking book it. While Kika's still crying, but she manages to calm down, and they just fucking ollie out. The childcare officer chases them down, but does not catch them, and then the kids come to this cliff, and they jump into the dark abyss, and they die. That's the end of the plot line.
Amaro!
They don't die. In fact, they go on to literally win the war. I will contend that without the actions of these three impudent children, the 1 year war would have ended with Zeon winning.
It definitely would have massively reduced the effectiveness of the Federation forces
by a country mile.
Yeah.
They end up walking across
a couple of ACK guys. Viewfinder of an
ACK guy.
Yeah.
So we learned from Kukuro's Doan's Island, not to say the cursed name again, but
shit, we said it three times. This is fucking Zaku just breaks in.
Kung Fu fights us.
Yeah, Kung Fu fights us
too. So we learned they don't have to have that little thingy on, the mono eye. They don't have to have that red light on to see. So that guy's just turning that on to fuck with those kids. Because every time they turn around, he turns the fucking red light on.
Yeah, that's the other thing of, like, it... The show does not keep it consistent as to whether or not the eyeball needs to be on. It's entirely done for tonal fuckery. And they don't actually really care.
I really, really... Like, I will die on the hill that Zeon, the mono eye is just for... That, intimidation reasons.
So is there a course, or do you think it's just like left up to the pilots, like when you want to do that? Because like, assuredly, there could totally be an entire class you have to take in pilot school of like, all right, so you're gonna be piloting these fucks. When to turn on your eyeball?
Yeah, I think it's like a few weeks in the fashion course. They talk about when the appropriate mono eye use.
Oh Lord, I could legitimately totally see this happening. For the record, so the kids fucking literally climb on top of two ACK guys and fuck off to a far part of the cave. They don't realize they're climbing on ACK guys, and in fact remain largely unsuspicious as they move forward. Char and his group set us up the bomb, with two dudes. It's really weird, and I don't understand why they did it this way. For some reason, everyone gets out of the ACK guys. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Then... There are four ACK guys. The three ACK guys have two people, or excuse me, the four ACK guys are there's a magic ACK guy that only appears half the time, and I'm only just realizing it. And I'm kind of disconcerted because there's an Ak guy I can't account for most of this episode until it gets murked at the end.
An account guy. It was too much. I apologize to all of our listeners.
It was a real stretch, and let me tell you, Home Slice, you ain't Dalsum.
Nope. Yoga Fist.
I'm also real proud of that comparison. or that simile, excuse me. Also, isn't it only like Yoga Flame and Yoga Fire? I don't remember all of Dalsum's moveset. It
probably is. It's been forever since I played Street Fighter.
Yeah, no. I mean, I own four. I've owned four Ultra, and it's good. But I've always been more of a Soul Calibur guy. Anyway.
Also, I play fucking Blanca exclusively, so...
You're fucking garbage, and...
I am. And I am garbage.
I can't believe this is the moment where I'm like... Do I want to do this podcast still? For the filthy fuck. Do you fucking mash up punch 2 whole time? Fucking be that electric ass?
Look, if you don't come into my fucking office if you don't get goddamn electric.
That is legitimately like every time one of my friends does that to me in Street Fighter, I'm like, I'm so mad!
it's a bullshit move.
Yeah,
it is. I'm bad at fighting games.
Yeah, no. And the thing is, I'm not good at fighting games. I'm just decent at fighting games.
And you're good at fighting games so long as no one does bullshit like spam electric.
That's the thing. I'm not good enough to know like the hard counters of shit where it's like, oh, you're doing that? Observe as I suplex you into the fucking sun, despite the fact that my character has no suplex moves. Watch Juri Han suddenly learn Zangief's moveset and kill you with it. I'm not that good. Anyway,
so there's a missing Ak guy, Char... Everybody's setting a bomb.
Char and another guy and another couple of guys fuck off to go blow up White Base while these two idiots try to blow up the GM factory. The children also go into the unlocked GM factory.
Because it's just hanging out. It's this top secret facility that's just like...
Yeah.
You know, easy access.
Yeah. Well, I assumed it's because the spooky boys left the door unlocked. Especially in the manga, they actually imply that. Like, they show them unlock the door, and then...
Okay, fair enough.
And then the kids go through the same door. They just don't do that here. Because time, really. A lot of shit happens in this episode. So, the kids go in, and they find the bombs, and then they find the bomb planters, and get caught. We come back to this in a minute. When we come back, these children win the war. So, we cut to Fra and Mirai, who happen to be driving the opposite direction as the childcare officer. They learn about the kids, and set off to find the kids. Meanwhile, the kids manage to free themselves via some ingenuity, and we learn they have 30 minutes to get rid of all of the bombs and save the day. We cut to commercial.
We don't have any new,
reviews.
Reviews?
We come back from commercial.
So!
Hopefully that's a seamless editing transition, because, boy, we cut stuff out. Just a lot.
Also, I really need to start yelling more. Like, I feel like I'm not selling the commercial anymore.
I'm not just gonna sit here and critique your fucking chime right now. Like, that's just rude.
Okay,
but we need you to bring the energy up, or else we might have to let you go.
Oh no! Who would you replace me with?
Fucking no one. I can't. Fucking no one else will do this shit. That's not true. There's probably people willing to. There's just not people I'm willing to do it with.
Do you want to come here and be you have to be the dumb host, and you have to edit everything?
I may be a stupid shit, but. I don't think I can fucking jump between two host chairs. and I'm not going to do the Vine thing of just speaking into different fucking, like, the left channel, the right channel, the left channel, the right channel. not going to do that. Anyway, so we come back, And the GM factory explodes and the children die.
It's not a...
No.
Bright gets called away. Yeah.
We come back to Bright coming in to see Amuro and the boys. Kai and Hayato. I'm just going to call them the boys, though, because they're the boys. Yeah. You crack open cold ones with them.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, Amuro has cracked open quite a few cold robots with the boys. So... They're not very cold when he cracks them open, though. That is
no, they always sword. Explode.
Yeah. So, Bright comes in to see Amuro and the boys, and he's like, "Yeah, we can get a tour of that GM factory." And then immediately, Bright gets called away. So, and Bright's like, "Eh, you're gonna enjoy fucking seeing that shit without your commanding officer anyway. Get out there."
Yeah.
So Bright goes. This is an important plot point that we will come back to at the end of the episode. No, I'm not kidding. Yeah. So, the kids... God, I hope I didn't just make my nose bleed. The kids begin get out of their bindings via a liberal application of teeth and shenanigans.
Yeah, they're very effective at getting each other. Like, Kika was trying to get her own mask off with her feet, and she couldn't get her foot up there, and the other one of the kids is like... do mine, and then once teeth are involved, it's all bets are off.
Yeah, well, so that's like one of the things I think is really cool about this. Of these kids show remarkable problem solving in a life or death situation like fucking that.
So I have a kid. Uh-huh. They're pretending to be dumb. All right, you fucking tell them they can't do something they really want to fucking do, or you like put obstacles in their fucking way, and they'll fucking find the weirdest fucking Mission Impossible bullshit. Get the fuck. How the fuck? What the fuck? Children are pure evil. I think
they're an adventure, to say the least. Yeah, they're a thing and a half, I tell you. What? So, what? Now I'm just imagining fucking your son doing some crazy Tom Cruise bullshit, just like jumping
He was a fucking... He was a fearless piece of shit. He's afraid of heights now. He's afraid of falling, because he's older. Right. But when he was little, he just did not give a fuck. He would climb anything. Fucking... put something near him. He was like, fuck it, I'll climb that.
Yeah. Sid's real name, Sir Edmund Hillary. Why did you climb it? It was there.
Yeah, because you told me not to, fucker.
Yeah,
because
it was there and someone told me I couldn't, so...
I'm a rebel.
Long story short, that's why I'm on top of the fridge. Please help. Please help.
So they get loose, and they start, like, they find these bombs, and they start, the people talk about bombs around them? I can't remember how they figured out they were bombs.
They did. Letts is the one who actually puts it together. He was like, wait a minute, they said they will go off in 30 minutes, that means it's bombs! And so he flips his shit, and that's what actually leads them to that little bit of ingenuity of getting out of their bindings, because first Letts tries to take off his boot and then use his toes to get his mask down, but he can't. So then Kika tries the same thing, managing to get her boot off, but then is like, that's not working, so she takes Letts's off, Letts then chews through Katz's ropes, and Katz lets both of them out. The three of them now experience terrible childhood trauma in the form of a high-stress situation that is literally life or death as they run around and collect every single bomb in the GM factory by themselves.
Yeah, and it is a montage, and it's a very, like a very weirdly somber, like, I can't remember, I don't think there's like happy music or anything.
No, it was really stressful, somber music. Like, it's not gallant char anxiety inducing, but it's close. Recently I heard gallant char, but it keeps getting faster, and that is really just anxiety given, like, a digital file format. You remember which song gallant char is, right?
No.
Bum,
I don't know the names
of bum, 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 bum,
oh, yeah, that okay. One,
That's Gallant Char. That's Char's theme song. And if it keeps getting faster, you want to just run away forever. But the problems are chasing you, and the Char problems are red, faster. And three times faster than the rest of your problems. And they keep getting faster! Anyway.
Near the end of... So they're loading it up in a Jeep. I think the last scene of the montage, or near the end of the montage, is Kika is carrying, like, three of these fucking things and almost drops two of them,
yeah.
She fucking panics.
Yeah, she panics and then just relaxes, and I don't think it hits her until years later that she almost fucking died.
These are a lot of fucking bombs.
Yeah, there's like 30 of them.
There's a truck, there's a Jeep load of bombs.
Yeah. There's a 4x4 full of bomb. They get all of them. And they try to get the fucking Jeep started, but they can't. They manage to, just as Amuro and the boys pull up. However, the kids leave the hangar by crashing through a fucking wall.
Which is totally cool thing to do when you're carrying 30 bombs.
Yeah, and the bombs don't go off. Well, no, the bombs go off and the show ends immediately right there. Amuro and the children are all dead. It's very tragic. They avoid that end, actually.
Rewind.
Yeah. They avoid that end, that bad end, and just action hero their fucking ass to the road. Hayato, who's driving, goes, "Oh, fuck, what was that?" And Amuro goes, "That was Kika's voice. Turn this fucker around."
So these children that are joyriding.
Hayato pulls that fucking sick handbrake turn, and they pull up next to him and just start screaming at each other as to what the situation is. Yeah. So Amuro goes, "Okay."
And Amuro just fucking straight jumps over these two speeding vehicles. Yeah. Amuro does not care anymore. Amuro wants to die.
I think this is new type bullshit rearing its head again, actually.
Yeah, okay. In that, Fair enough.
He's super aware of where these two things are, and he's like, "Yeah, I can make that jump easy." And he just does.
Yep. Like, doesn't think about it. Just poof.
Yeah, like, I'll say, having borderline psychic powers makes you real efficient at doing shit.
Makes you physical be able to do shit. Real cool shit.
Yeah, you can do really action hero shit. That said, let's give it up for Hayato and Kai as well, because Amuro jumps over and takes the wheel from Letts. Cats, Letts, and Kika then all either jump or are pulled by a Kai... jump into Kai's arms, or pulled by Kai over, and Kai rescues all of them as Hayato keeps the car at speed and steady. Perfectly steady, mind you. And yeah, the kids get off, Hayato pulls the brake, and Amuro fucking times that sick action movie jump out of the moving Jeep, where it careens off a cliff and then explodes in... Oof. A huge explosion!
Yeah.
Like, that is not what plastic explosives look like when they go boom?
No, these are Gundanium explosives.
Yeah, these are some super science bullshit explosives that look like comedically 70s.
Minofsky plastoid explosives. I don't know, dude, I'm just trying. I'm very sleepy.
What's funny, too, is, like, you could have had the pull of Pliskovsky particles from... Pliskovsky. Because Minofsky particles get a reskin in mobile... in Gundam Build Fighters, where they're what let people operate the Gundams. They bring Gundam... Pliskovsky particles. It's just plastic mashed up with Minofsky, yeah.
And, Gundam Build Fighters are a real dumb show, isn't it?
Literally the entire central premise and hinge point of the fact that the Gundams can be operated, these Pliskovsky particles, come from a magic crystal.
Cool. I can't wait. I'm real excited for future sections of this show.
Yeah, Gundam just kind of keeps getting wilder, and... Frankly, I'm like real excited for the ones I know are weird, but I've never seen, like Turn A.
Yeah, I'm honestly kind of, and I know it'll be a billion years from now, so it probably won't come up, but, like, I'm worried about when we get to, like, the just normal-ass Gundams, like Unicorn and stuff, uh-huh. And, like, what if they're not stupid enough? What if we have episodes where it's just like, and then, you know, Gundam did a thing, it was cool.
I mean, don't you worry, the protagonists from this show will... Or, well, characters, I should say. Characters from this show will make future appearances, so don't you worry. Someone stupid will show up and do something. Plus,
what am I kidding? Fucking Mullet McFull Monty shows up in Unicorn. We'll be fine.
Me and everyone else are laughing about Full Frontal now. Fun fact, that guy's name is Full Frontal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know who Full Frontal is?
Yeah. Okay, cool. I've seen like 3 episodes of Unicorn.
Cool. Yeah, I guess they are kind of upfront about it. Anyway, but that's cool. So
there's a big ol' explosion.
Yes. So it fucking blows, and the GM factory is saved. It would have assured. They definitely make it big enough where it's like, yeah, the GM factory would be dust if that went off.
Yeah. No, that would have been Dunsky, Dunsko, yeah. Danofsky.
Danofsky particles. Amuro realizes White Base is in danger too. He clearly calls it in off screen because we immediately cut to Char getting chased out of White Base amidst a hail of gunfire, where he does not get hit.
No, because he's got new type nonsense too.
Yes. This is the point where I realize it's pronounced Ak Guy because Char pronounces it that way. It's also the first time they say Ak Guys the whole episode. Said Ak guys begin wanton destruction of Jaburo, and probably my second favorite mission from Mobile Suit Gundam Federation vs. Zeon for the PlayStation 2 begins at this very point. It's a real good mission on both campaigns, both the Zeon campaign and the Fede campaign. This is just a fun part.
Assuming. I've never played it.
The mission combines both the Zok and the AC guy, the Ak guys and the Char Zagok, all of them appear at the same time. And so you're fighting off a lot of shit at once if you're a Fetty. But on the Zeon side, you're also fighting against the full White Base crew in Jaburo and a bunch of GMs. It's a real cool mission, and I really like it. Anyway, highly recommend it. Also, just recommend that game. Fucking primo game. I know I talk about it all the time. It's such a fucking good game. So, Amuro manages from afar, naked eye, to be like, is that fucking Char? A blip in the distance? Is that Char? It is!
This is a disturbance in the farce.
Yeah. in the charse.
Charse. Look at his charse.
So, turns out, Sayla's over there.
Yep.
The two make eye... Sayla and Char proceed to make eye contact.
We get a weird color filter.
It is purple, which in my mind is very much our new type bullshit color. Yeah. Because they are... the background becomes deep purple, and they become a lighter purple. Like, it's heavily coded as a new type moment. And fire in the sky. So, we also learn Char's name. Kosvel.
Yeah, no, it's... Fuck that. No wonder he changed it.
Well, so we have Kosvel and Artesia.
Yeah, what pretentious fucking names these two actually have?
Boy, you're in for a fucking reveal.
Well, I'm guessing they're both fucking weird royalty or something. They're both important. You know, whatever. I don't want to fucking... we'll get there when we get there.
We will get there. I think it's gotta be soon. I don't remember exactly where that reveal happens, but, like, it's gotta be soon.
Like, Char is Space Noid Jesus or something.
I mean...
Just silence.
I mean... Like, he's not that yet, but, like, later in the series, yeah, he's basically Space Noid Jesus. Like, that's not even a joke, that's just an observation.
Well, I fucking called it. Where's my points? What did I win?
I mean, you know who Full Frontal is.
Oh, no, I just know of Full Frontal.
Oh.
I've just seen Full Frontal, and then he wants to be Char. And he's got a fucking mullet.
It's a very thick mullet, though.
It's Brock Samson levels. Like, you can't get mad at it.
At a certain point, you're just like, yeah, you got it.
You're doing it.
You're doing it, man. I can't fault that one.
I mean, I can, but I won't, because I don't want your hair to murder me in my sleep.
Your hair separate as an entity from the rest of you, because there's also, like, Brock Samson, the rest of him, but there's also Char, the rest of him, actually, too. I don't think Char can literally rip me in half, but I'd let him. So, we continue to, There's this real intense, like, just kind of eye stare exchange, off. And it's like, will you quit your military? Not really. Will you quit yours? Mirai distantly sees Char and is like, oh, fuck! Bang, bang, bang! And just starts shooting at him because Mirai's the MVP.
Mirai fucking knows what's up. My girl don't fuck around. She knows who the fuck that is.
Instant. Like, she doesn't know it's Char, even. She's just like, that's not a good guy.
Look at him, that's definitely fucking... Look at the fashion, this goddamn Zeon Commander fucking shooting. Just murder and then ask questions later. I'm earning this goddamn promotion.
I'm earning this officer position. I'm commissioned now, I have to give a shit.
I have to fuck this guy up.
Yeah, Mirai chases Char off, and Mirai runs up and is like, fuck it, did you see that? No, I've been looking for the kids, what's going on? There's this fucking Zeon officer, like, 2 feet from you. I didn't see him! What?
He's bright red!
He's bright red! I didn't see him! He's
got a hat!
Mirai clearly doesn't buy it, and Sailor just keeps lying. Char gets back to his Zagok, as apparently do the other boys get to their AC guys. Char is like, fuck it, we outie. And all of them turn to leave. We also learn the Ak guys can fucking swing like monkeys with their extendable arms. I did not remember this feature of the Ak guy. The extendable arms can be used to swing through cave systems. Why is that efficient? How is that efficient? Why is that the chosen locomotion for these? Yasuhiko-san, what the fuck? Was that you or was that someone else? Please, someone. What the fuck?
Explain thyself.
Like, right now I have three names to possibly blame. Yu Yamamoto, Ryoji Fujiwara, and Yoshikazu Yasuhiko. You three are on thin fucking ice right now. I'm not gonna lie to you. Fucking...
You're on notice.
Yeah, you're on notice. What the fuck? Oh, and the mechanical designer for Mobile Suit Gundam, Kaneo Okawara. You're also on thin fucking ice. My guy. I don't know which of you decided they should swing. But you did. You fucking did. You absolute madman. I'm looking very accusingly at the non-existent camera. So, I'm just gonna sum up the next part pretty succinctly. Amuro launches in the Gundam and he fucking murks every AC guy.
Just does some real hardcore murders.
He just murks him. Like, he one pumps the first guy, cuts the next guy in half, and then the next guy also in half.
Yep.
And then Char's just like, fuck. Char gets his arm cut off. Mobile suit's arm, not his
arm. Arm or leg?
It was his arm.
Arm, okay.
Char gets an arm cut off by Amuro. Woo! Like, I wasn't kidding when this scene feels very comparable to that time in, like, episode, what, 9, that he just murks an entire base by himself?
Yeah.
But
Char wasn't there.
Yeah, like, this is a... And there weren't a lot of mobile suits. I think this was a very good scene to educate the viewer, hey, Amuro legitimately kicks ass now.
And Char... Yeah, because it's not even, like, a fucking... effort.
Mm-mm.
He's not like in a berserker rage.
It's not a question. He just murks him.
He just shows up and kills everybody.
Yeah.
And like Char narrowly escapes.
Yeah.
Because his mobile suit is so fast.
Like this was a really good episode. This was a really good moment to teach the audience where the power levels are again.
Yeah, he is over 9,000.
Yeah, well, like, Dragon Ball Z did this as well. Having older villains show back up in some capacity to show the audience that our characters have, in fact, gone further beyond.
Yeah. So I think what this is also showing is, I think when Char... Because we know, I'm assuming Char is also a new type bullshit and not just Sayla.
He is.
Yeah. So we know he has like these preternatural abilities as well, but he has been in a command position for the last dozen episodes and has not been in a mobile suit murdering people.
Yes.
Amuro has. Amuro's been doing nothing but mobile suit murders.
Yes.
For fucking the last 12 episodes while Char was sleeping.
Yeah.
And now Char's gotta fucking try harder. Gotta start killing people in the mobile suit, buddy.
Well, so that's actually... You just brought up something that... Let me check for... Yeah, we're fine. You actually brought something up that I think does follow Char the rest of the series. Char almost gets murked here. And, like... in a more advanced mobile suit.
Yep.
Char keeps, and throughout the series, he keeps getting, like, new mobile suits over and over again, right? The bigger and better thing. Usually his suit stays a little bit more constant than, like, the suit of the week type of shtees we have going on with Zeon. But he still keeps upgrading his suits. And there are moments later where he clearly, does make that training effort. There's a kind of just whole arc about that later. But it's always, it has felt within the context of Mobile Suit Gundam a lot like Char doesn't improve as much as Amuro does. Because Amuro goes from zero to ace god king pilot.
Yeah.
Over the course of this show. And Char starts as an ace pilot and gets beaten by Amuro, right?
I think a part of the problem we're going to run into... not a problem, but I think part of the reason why Char can... Char's never going to... my prediction, Char's never... Because of what you just said. Char's never going to catch up to Amuro... Because, he's always in the same suit. Amuro's always in the same suit.
Yeah.
More or less. He'll sometimes jump into another one if he has to.
Yeah.
But, so there's that. Amuro doesn't have to command anybody. He is just a soldier. He's just a pilot.
There is that.
Char always has artillery support. Not always, but he has artillery support and backup units. Yeah. And, whereas Amuro has the G parts, or the G unit, and the two gun buddies, they're usually not there to support Amuro. They're there to defend White Base while Amuro
fucking mercs everyone.
Yeah, so it's Amuro learns to fight on his own in the Gundam quite a bit with just the Gunit helping. And the Gunit, honestly, I'm not sure that actually fucking helps.
There's a reason in the movies they completely replace the G-Unit with a B-part section for the core fighter to turn it into a proper fighter.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I think this is a left-hand Suzuki method situation here, where Amuro is just... It's all Amuro is doing is learning to pilot this fucking Gundam.
Yeah.
All day, all night. He's obsessed with it. He thinks about it when he's masturbating. Like, he's just
eating. Just rubbing his dick all over that fucking cockpit.
Really, he's learning the to pilot to it with his penis. Like, he's sitting there like, what if I lose both my arms and have to pilot this thing with my dick?
You're really gonna let bringing the cock to cockpit just sleep? That wasn't comedy gold.
It was. It's just...
Don't lie to me. This was a trick. This was a ruse. No, but okay, really, like... Yeah, I think you're right. Amuro puts almost all of the effort into himself as opposed to a group. And I think... Yeah. I think that also shows... Amuro brings up White Base via example, whereas Char is trying to bring up his boys via command. Yeah. And it's... Ironically, it's really hard to not, like, analyze the shit out of this with the context of everything else that happens in the series. I'm trying to keep it down a little bit here, right? But it's really hard to go back to an earlier series and not have this context, right?
Right.
So I guess I'll just say it by... Char, you're right, Char never quite does that in the same way. And though he tries... It doesn't have the same effect, in my opinion. Though he does have moments like this, especially in later parts, where he does lead by example, but it's... Amuro still has that hero element to him that lets him do it better.
Also, Amuro's fucking terrified. Like,
Amuro has a lot of adrenaline, I think, that has to do with...
Char has a lot of hubris to him.
Yeah.
I think his ego will get in the way quite a bit. But it doesn't hear. He runs the fuck away.
Yeah, he ollies the fuck out. Like, he literally just covers the area in explosions and dips.
I imagine this, like, so you've got, like, six tough guys. They're about to beat your ass, right? They're, like, just standing around you, getting ready to beat your ass. They're all tough. And then suddenly you step to the side and a fucking lion jumps out. Mm-hmm. Like, it's that level of, fuck this! No, fuck it! It's like, you're not even going to try. He's just immediately eviscerating all your friends.
Just your only chance is to run.
You're not going to fight a fucking tiger, and you're not going to fight Amuro right now.
Yeah. Very much so. So yeah, he basically just smoke bombs the fuck out of there. And Fetties win the day again. We cut to a little bit later.
All the kids die end of episode.
Yeah, all the kids die end of episode. Quite the opposite, actually. We cut to a scene where essentially the youths of White Base, that is Fraw and the boys, want to keep the orphans. Because, well, apparently they function wonderful as bomb-sniffing dogs. But also, their feelings and shit.
They're like, they want to be here.
Yeah, they do want to be here, and they are right. The child care officer, like, was really like, they'll be safe here and cared for and all these things. Fraw, Kai, and Amuro bring up actually decent points each. Decent in this specific case. Overall terrible, but hard to argue with, actually. Because... Yeah. Fraw brings up that these children will just hate it the whole fucking time and cause nothing but trouble. Yeah. Kai brings up that this isn't really that safe. Clearly the enemy knows where Jaburo is. Right. So how can you be safe? You're a fucking mountain who's defending itself. Like, sure, like, the dwarves lasted a while, but at some point a fucking dragon's coming, right?
Yeah. We've established that they're like, Makuve's not dead, right?
Makuve's not dead.
And he is very willing to use a nuclear explosive.
Yeah, Makuve's super willing to just level the area. And I can't imagine, like, Makuve is also just a symptom of Caecilia, right?
Yeah. Oh god, I miss Caecilia, my crazy evil wife.
Oh, don't worry. The whole fucking Zabi fam is about to hit back hard, I think, in a few episodes. Oh, like, we're about to get a lot of taste on that.
Like, I think, spoiler alert, I think we're going back to goddamn space, and I'm so excited, y'all.
we are going back to space. So,
space fight!
Lastly, Amuro brings up just that the kids seem to function really well on White Base, compared to everywhere else. And yeah, they may be kids still, but they, I mean, look at this scenario. They more than earn their keep, right? The childcare officer is visibly heartbroken by this.
Yeah, because, like, she obviously cares about kids, and this is a, like, not for nothing, this is a terrible idea. Like,
yeah.
Like, objectively, those kids should not be on White Base.
Objectively, those kids should not be on White Base. Unfortunately, all of the situations provided indicate, they're right. The kids might actually do better on White Base, at least given all of the argument, all of the evidence we have at this time, right?
I think my only thing is, like, these are still children. Like,
yes.
They shouldn't be anywhere near. And I understand, like, desperate times. I think my problem is I keep thinking of the Federation Force as a, like, fully functioning governmental military, whereas they're not at this point. They are the wrecked remains of a military.
Well, that's kind of something. This show paints the Feddies and Zeon as, in my mind, they have less in common with their respective sides in World War I and II, and more in common with the American Civil War, actually. At least especially the Federation. Because the when Zeon seceded, they knew what they were doing and they were ready for it. And so they had the system in place. When that happened, the Federation did not have that plan in mind.
Yeah.
It was also suddenly something that happened and they didn't have time to build anything, really?
Yeah.
So, like, Reville just becomes God, and we're like, okay.
It was flipped in that the Space Noid had the means of production. Like,
yes.
In the American Civil War, the North had all the factories and stuff, and the South were they had agriculture and farms and shit. But, like, they didn't have the factory infrastructure that the North had, but this is the opposite.
Yes.
Whereas the South in this one has all of the production. All it seems to me like all of the production had been moved off Earth.
Yep.
White Base was built in space. Yep. Like, and it seems like they just got this. Like, they've been playing catch up this whole time.
And they have, and that's something that, like, they make very clear in the first few episodes. Like, the Fed. I'd like to remind you, the 1 year war, which started January, like, 3rd, 0079.
Yeah.
Mobile Suit Gundam begins on, like, November 5th.
Yeah.
So
shit's been going.
Yeah. In this 1 year, Zeon, in this 10 months, Zeon has been slapping Federation ass up and down the fucking system.
Yeah. So I think the reason I keep getting stuck on this, and I need to stop, like, because I get upset about them, like, leaving kids in charge of White Base, leaving Bright in charge of White Base. Like, they probably don't have a fucking choice. Like, they don't have all of the infrastructure and tools they need to take care of children and to resupply White Base and to give them, they may not have a fucking admiral or captain available to pilot this fucking thing. It's, like,
that's another thing that the show shares a lot in common with World War II, actually, in that if you go back and read a lot of the shit that went on in World War II, a lot of that is insubordination and taking shit for joyrides and doing stuff that, like, by modern military practices would be insane.
Yeah.
But it worked, but because like, that amphitheater was fucking crazy and nothing made sense.
what the fuck else are you gonna do? Like, this is a global, like the universal century, the 1 year war is a literal world war. Yes. Like, shit is fucked everywhere. I really need to stop harping on this bullshit, even though it is major bullshit.
It is major bullshit, and like, we're right to be concerned, and like, the concern should exist, but it is this weird mix of A, of course it's a fictional story, but B, man is at desperate times. Like, man is this, like, it is hard to explain how, like, different this is compared to anything that's happened in actual world history. Like,
right.
With all that said, it was a pretty good fucking episode.
Yeah. But we're all
last part. So, oh, yeah, last part.
Shit's happening in space, and they're going to split the forces. White base is going to be a decoy.
Yeah. Earlier, remember when we said Bright getting called away was an important plot point? It loops back around right now, where we cut to, like, the team, all the COs, and General Reville, like, talking, and Bright is informed that White Base will serve as a fucking lure for Zeon.
Which sucks, but makes a shitload of sense.
Yeah, like, literally the entire plan is hinged on the fact that White Base is a high-value honor target.
Yeah.
It has almost nothing to do with the military prowess that White Base has.
Yeah, because White Base isn't that, like, White Base is, don't get me wrong, White Base is a fucking powerhouse, it is. But it's not like, you're fucking taking Tomahawk missiles to a fucking phalanx of Roman soldiers. Like, it's not, they're not outclassing, fucking Zaku 2s could take this fucking thing out. Like,
eventually, yeah. Well, yeah. White Base is, a fully manned White Base is still, I believe, I'm like, putting things together because I don't have this memory in front of me nor the web page, but like, remember, everything in Gundam is based off of a real thing. Yeah. With most of the mobile suits representing tanks. Because functionally they fill the same role in this war. If I remember correctly, White Base is meant to be like the aircraft carriers of the time, which were a new concept.
Yeah.
So, like, a big game changer, too.
Because aircraft were a new concept, really.
Yeah, there's kind of that, too.
There's a lot of times where I think, like, I sometimes, like, oh, well, World War One and World War Two weren't that far apart. They're probably very similar. They were, in World War One, there were still dudes on horses with fucking swords.
In World War One, do you know what a dogfight consisted of? Because this is the most metal shit I've ever heard.
What?
So, remember, World War One planes were, like, Red Baron motherfuckers, right?
Yeah,
these biplanes. These biplanes. The forward-mounted machine gun was not invented until a decent way into
the war. Oh, yeah, you actually fired fucking handguns.
Yeah, these guys were pulling out handguns and grenades and just yeeting at each other in the fucking air.
That's so
They weren't trying to take out planes. They were trying to take out other dudes inside of planes.
Oh my god.
Holy hell, shit. Y'all. War is hell, but man, when you're fucking 100 years after the fact and looking back at it, it is wild and kind of cool. But still hell. Please don't lose sight of that. Yes, it's a cool robot. War is still hell.
It is still
a TV show that got a lot of its funding cut at the end and is a weird show about giant robots, and sometimes things can just be taken at face value too, such as dipshit kids. But war is still hell, but also the robots are still cool.
Robots are dope. Yes. And we're like, the one, if you're going to take one thing away from this episode, though, I think it should be that we're...
Children earned their fucking food for the rest of their lives.
I really think the thing you should take away from this one is that we are one step closer to Bear Guy.
We are one step closer to Bear Guy. Whether that is a herald of horror to you or a golden sunrise in the distance. I'll, yeah, I'll let you take your own things away from this. Point being, next time on Mobile Suit Gundam, the Gundam goes to space, but Char is still hot on the trail. We meet a new and important foe and mobile armor, and we have a bit of a good old-fashioned episode where Char's just fucking chasing Whiteface for 20 minutes. Next time on Mobile Suit Fandom, a decoy in space, or Zanzibar Pursue in the original Japanese. Will you Zanzibar's be able back. To survive? Yeah, that does sound better. Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 30 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage, or that you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod, and our personal Twitters from there. Also, if you are new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a shot, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows, legally, for free. Until next time, mech fans, remember, we barely hear from the three kids in future series. Like, they have a couple of mentions. Really wild to me.